Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Let's go to the dangerous one, Daryl Ryder. He joins us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hey, Daryl, you're a big baseball fan. Real quick, before we get into Myles Garrett and everything else with the Browns and Ryan Grigson, what do you think ought to happen to the Astros?
I think that they ought to vacate the 2017 World Series. Major League Baseball should step in and go full NCAA on them. That was an abomination yesterday, the way that organization handled it, at spring training and that. So I'm all for doing what the NCAA does, just make them return the rings, make them return the commissioner's trophy, and you don't have a World Series champion for 2017.
And would you be saying the same thing if that were the Indians?
Probably not.
Well, at least you're honest.
Probably not, but in fact, I'm at a point with the Indians now, whatever it takes, however many trash cans you need to bang on to win a World Series, get it done. The window seems to be closing in on them. But I will say this, though, the Astros better get some rib protection, because I have a feeling that their hitters are going to get dotted on a regular basis this year.
That's pretty reckless behavior and reckless speculation. Daryl Ryder joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. All right, Myles Garrett, what'd you make of that interview yesterday with Mita Kimes? Now, it's only a snippet of the interview. The full interview plays tomorrow on ESPN. But let's just start with this. Do you believe Myles Garrett?
I do. I do. I don't think that just being around him, and I know that my exposure to him is limited to the locker room and, whatever social events he might be hosting in town or whatever. That's about as deep as I know him, but nicest, respectful athletes I've ever covered. And that's what made November 14th and what happened in those closing seconds against the Pittsburgh Steelers just so shocking to me, that he would do something like that. So I believe that something did happen that triggered that reaction from him. I'm not excusing his behavior. I'm not trying to justify what he did, not by any stretch of the imagination, Ken. It was awful. We all know it. We said it. But I do believe something happened that caused him to do that. And the other thing, too, is people forget, they were separated. When they were tussling on the ground initially and Rudolph's trying to rip Garrett's helmet off and he almost got it off, and Garrett pulled him up by the face mask and ripped the helmet off, they were separated for a moment. And then Mason Rudolph came charging at Garrett, and that's when Garrett clocked him upside the head. So, but I do believe that Mason Rudolph did or said something to Garrett to trigger that type of violent reaction from him.
Do you think this sit-down 3 months later, and the most, to me, this is the loudest Myles has been about the accusation and actually provided some clarity for the accusation, do you think this will end up being a good move or a not-so-good move for Myles?
Well, I don't think it has any bearing. He's been reinstated now, so that, I think, is behind him.
He's alleging an NFL cover-up, Daryl. Do you think that'll help him with the NFL?
Well,
right after he gets reinstated?
Well, he's back in the league, and here's the other thing, though. Knowing some of the technical things that happen when it comes to network coverage of those games, there's microphones everywhere. So while the league officially says they don't have a recording of anything, and obviously a couple of the Steelers that were around that incident claimed that they did not hear that come out of Mason Rudolph's mouth, there are microphones everywhere that pick up everything on the field. So I find it stunningly unbelievable that there were no microphones that heard the exchange between those two players. I don't believe it for a second. I'm not willing to go as far as to say that there's some big massive conspiracy and cover up from the league. I will just say, based on my knowledge of how these network broadcasts go, and of course this was a national TV Thursday night broadcast on Fox, and it's also part of the reason why the league wasted no time dropping the hammer not only on Myles Garrett, but on both the Steelers and the Browns. Remember, the both franchises were fined $250,000, and over $700,000 in fines were handed out in the wake of that incident. Knowing how these broadcasts work, Anthony, I don't believe that there were no microphones that did not pick up the exchange between Mason Rudolph and Myles Garrett.
Yeah, a writer joining us on the hotline. Ryan Grigson, coming back to the Cleveland Browns. That was met with some criticism yesterday, not just locally, but nationally. Do you think that's fair, or because of the different role that he's going to be in and he's going to be reporting to the new GM, Andrew Berry, that this is not that big of a deal?
Well, anytime you can put the front office that is responsible for the worst 2 years in NFL history back together, I guess you just have to do it. This is just the NFL being the NFL, the good old boys network. You know, Ryan Grigson is the one that promoted Andrew Berry from pro scout to pro scouting director with the Indianapolis Colts and really set Berry on the trajectory to the position that he is now as the executive vice president of football operations and general manager of the Cleveland Browns. John Dorsey, same thing. When he came in, he brought in his guys, Lonzo Highsmith, Elliott Wolf. We see it time and time again. Obviously, we see it a lot with the Cleveland Browns because they do this every other year. I'm not crazy about the front office. I've been very clear about that. I think that this front office is not nearly as good as it was a year ago. But clean slate. Let's see what these guys can come up with. I'm willing to judge them on their merits and in what they do, but just on the surface, I'm not real crazy about the changes. I think that the organization has taken a significant step back in the football talent evaluation aspect of things.
The dangerous one, Daryl Ryder. Yeah, I'm sorry. Ryan Grigson just reminds me of failure.
Yeah, I mean,
in every way.
Fair or not, he is who is blamed for the demise of the career of Andrew Luck. Now, some will say he was very successful in Indianapolis. That franchise was stuck where the Browns were in that 4-12, 5-11 situation. He comes in first year, executive of the year, turns him into an 11-5 football team. First 3 years as GM. They lose in the wild card round. Then they advance to the divisional round to lose. And then, of course, obviously, everybody remembers the Deflategate scandal and the loss to the Patriots in the AFC Championship game. And then the following 2 years, they go 8-8. Things fall apart for him behind the scenes, and they ultimately move on from him. So everybody remembers how it ended, not how it began, but how it ended seems to be pretty significant. You know, took money away from the offense from a salary cap perspective because he wanted to allocate more resources to the defensive side of the football. The offensive line was real weak. Andrew Luck was treated like a punching bag by opposing defenses. Ultimately, again, shortened his career. He is now retired. A lot of people in Indianapolis blame some of the moves made by Ryan Grigson for his demise. Also, too, let's not forget, Joe Banner fleeced him back in 2013, got a first-round pick for Trent Richardson, who, as we know, his career quickly fell apart after joining the Colts.
Well, as long as he's not got his finger on the trigger, I guess, you know. Plus, Jim, how much did Jim Irsay play into that, Daryl?
Well, and that's the other part of it, too, is you know, Jim Irsay, similar to Jimmy Haslam, is a lightning rod for criticism and, you know, accused of meddling in the operation and whatnot. But, you know how it goes, Ken. If you're the one that's tasked with making those decisions, sometimes you have to have the intestinal fortitude to tell your owner no, that it's not the right thing to do because that's what you're paying me to do. And then if the owner decides to fire you because you told him no, then so be it. But you do have that responsibility to make those decisions, you know, without prejudice and without influence even from ownership. So, and as we know, there have been a few decisions that have affected the Cleveland Browns in a rather negative way over the years that, you know, ownership has stepped in and said, hey, we think you should do this or do that, and it's not worked out well for the Cleveland Browns. So Ryan Grigson's responsible for you know, whatever happened in Indianapolis, because that's what he was paid for.
What do you think is going to happen with Olivier Vernon?
They've got a business decision to make. They can cut him without penalty this offseason, and I think that it wouldn't be surprised if they either moved on from him right away or if they, you know, go into training camp in August and take a look at him, see where he's at, see if he's back to being that guy, because before he got hurt last year, He started to play like that Pro Bowl defensive end that we saw with the New York Giants. He had three sacks in three games and was really coming around. Then he got hurt. And that just derailed his season completely. And unfortunately, when Myles Garrett got suspended, the pass rush for the Cleveland Browns followed Myles out the door. So I do think that there is a chance that Olivier Vernon is not a Cleveland Brown this year.
What about Joe Schobert?
That's the tough one, because Andrew Berry was a part of bringing Joe Schobert in and drafting him back in 2016. And you know, I'll throw Christian Kirksey. I know you didn't ask about him, Ken, but I'm going to throw Christian Kirksey in that mix as well, because I think there's questions there. We knew the last regime, you know, the John Dorsey, Freddie Kitchens regime, they weren't crazy about their linebacker situation. I thought Joe Schobert played very good last year, okay? He did make some impact plays. That's one of the things that I look about. Look at linebackers, those impact players. Do they make impact plays that change the outcome of the game? And we saw Joe Schobert do that a little bit last year. He did that for glimpses in 2017 as a Pro Bowler, even though they didn't win a game that year. But that's a real tough situation, because we haven't met any of the defensive staff, so it's kind of hard to gauge how they really feel about that linebacker core and if their opinion is a direct 180. Because if John Dorsey was still here, I think both of those guys would be gone.
Daryl, yesterday or a couple days ago, we had Sam Monson on from Pro Football Focus, and he said that where the Browns are picking, he thinks an analytically driven front office would probably be apt to trade down. We know that's what they did those 2 years that they ended up kind of tanking. Do you think that'll be the situation they'll be in coming up this draft?
I think it's entirely possible. You know, at 10, I believe that they're looking for a tackle. They desperately need offensive tackles, especially left tackle, okay? So if that guy isn't there at 10, absolutely, I think a trade down would be in the cards. Also, I think they could conceivably punt a little bit on this draft, and what I mean by that is some of those mid to late round draft picks, I could see them doing what Joe Banner did and spinning those picks off for higher rounds next year. So in other words, you know, if they don't like what they see in that fourth round and they don't feel that there's anything there that's going to be very impactful, I could see them spinning those 4, 5, and 6s for 3, 4s, and 5s in 2021, because the front office, even though I know Andrew Berry said that he's comfortable with people that are in the building and that they can get through the draft in the offseason with what they have, I expect that Andrew Berry and Ryan Grigson, I believe, is probably going to be one of these people that, you know, they don't have an assistant GM right now. They don't have a vice president of player personnel, because Highsmith and Wolf are gone. I think that those roles eventually get filled by Berry once the draft comes and goes. But I really think that there's a chance, yes, they could trade down from 10 if the player they don't want is not there, or the player that they want, they feel they can get some value later in that first round and pick up some extra picks. And again, those mid to late round picks, I definitely could see a scenario where they trade out and spin those picks into 2021.
I think, and we don't have much time, so I'll leave you with this. I think that they probably will move down. But the more I think about it, the more I don't like that, because it's their first year together and they're on a truncated timetable. And so I fear trusting their judgment on player development, player personnel, and judging talent together within a 3-month process compared to where it would be a 16-month process. I hope that makes sense to you. If it were next year, maybe I would do that. I don't know. I kind of would like them to just take the talent there at 10. If it makes sense. If someone's willing to, like, say there's a quarterback still there and all of a sudden it becomes a bidding war, then maybe you got to do what you got to do. But I maybe would rather just take a very nice piece there at 10 and let's all move on here. Well, it's supposed to be a competitive team.
Absolutely. And the holes aren't as significant or as many as they were a couple of years ago when they did the trade down stuff. So there aren't as many things that they need to fill in with the roster. What the Browns hope is that a lot of teams get the itchy trigger fingers when it comes to those quarterbacks, so that talent does fall to that 10th spot. But
seconds.
I agree with you. We share the same fear, Ken.
Yep.
I have significant concerns when it comes to football talent
20 seconds,
evaluations.
Daryl.
I think they took a tremendous step back. I stand by it. We'll see how
15.
This thing plays out.
He got out on time. Daryl, thank you.
I'm out of there.
Get the hell off the station. Daryl Ryder on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We'll break down the Myles Garrett fiasco again at 9. Up next, All Pro or Hell No on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.